This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by
Plunge. Easy to use, reliable cold plunges at affordable prices. Save $150 off with code MMA150. Crowd Cow, the marketplace for high quality craft beef and meats from ranches around the world. Save $15 off your first box with code MMA15. NordVPN, get advanced security, internet freedom, and complete privacy. Save 73% off the 2-year plan plus 4 months free with code MMA Nuts. Nectar Sleep, the last mattress you'll ever need. Get free sheets, mattress protector, and pillow with code GWFIT25. Defense Soap, everyday soaps for everybody. Use code MMANUTS to save 15% off your order.
Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts, episode 584.
584!
My name is Ingo Weigel.
Matt Griffith, MMA Show. By MMA fans, for MMA fans, walk the line between serious and ridiculous. What's happening? Are you Red Solo cupping? Did I see that right?
Always.
Sweet.
Always.
That's my favorite.
This is might be a new trend. You know?
You never know what's in there.
Hey, it's water. With
that's
foam.
Right, just like me, I'd like
and hops,
red water.
it's water with hops and foam. Oh shit, my light just fell. All right,
that's bad.
It is bad. Yeah, there's like I've turned off most of the lights, so there's just this wall of like spotlights on me, so I can't really see in the periphery very well. So if someone could come and kill me, I wouldn't even know. So
that's right. Well, you know, Halloween's right around the corner.
It is next Monday.
With all the fucking strikers, stabbers out there.
Yes. And I know you have that contest going. So, you know, your neighborhoods, people's getting lots of visitors to your yard.
Right. Now we have, unfortunately, we've got a bunch of thieves in the area. We were just talking about stealing fucking Halloween decorations. And they're not even stealing the small ones. We're talking like those 12-foot Home Depot skeletons are getting stolen.
Mm-hmm.
I have one, and I tell you right now, I will fuck somebody up so hard. I don't even care how many people. And that one will, I would feel very satisfied to go out there and manhandle a couple people, because I will do that with my fists. I won't even grab a gun or anything else, a dog. Mm-hmm. Just say, let's go, bitch. I won't even give you a warning. So the ring will catch all the action, kids. So you'll see what happens. I feel like that's defensible in court. Like if you come on someone's property and start stealing shit, I think it's fair game with how injured they get. Or that,
yes.
Or that ring camera footage may go missing. I'm just saying.
It's in the cloud. I think you can't fully delete it. They probably have copies. So beware.
Probably get it. Yeah.
Don't do anything crazy. But defend yourself.
At all times. That's right. If you're on my property,
yes,
I think you're fair game. Like that, you should be knowing this stuff. It's like stepping into the octagon when you step on my fucking property.
Yes.
As some people have known, as I've chased them away with a chainsaw. So.
Yes.
Anyway. UFC 280. Huh?
Yeah. You want to talk about it? Let me ask you this, because before we talk about it, I know this was at a weird time because of Abu Dhabi, and we had talked about at I don't know if we ever talked about it on the podcast, but how we're getting too old to watch this shit at like 9 p.m. and be done at 2 a.m. kind of thing. Like, how was it watching it during the day?
It's refreshing because you're fresh. And then like I made chili and Keith made the rosemary potatoes and eating that. And I was drinking Bloody Marys. I'm like, this is fucking beautiful. Can we have this at least a couple times, maybe 2, 3, 4 times a year? How about once a quarter? It'd be nice to have like a 1 p.m. start, because then you're done and it's still, you could still do stuff if you wanted to. It's
hang fresh, out with the right? family, go to dinner with the wife.
Finished at what? 4? Whatever. If that?
Yeah, that's perfect. It's nice. I was in Montreal over the weekend to get a little vacation. I was shocked by how many Charles Oliveira fans there were. There were quite a few people walking around with the Bronx shirts. Yeah. And there were people watching him in, you know, like the restaurants and bars out there. And I was like, huh, this is weird. I guess he has a big following out here in Canada. So who knew? So
that's cool. What do you think, before we go into this, what do you think the buy rate was for this?
375.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go way high.
Way high?
I think it's 750.
That high? Wow.
Yeah. Because it was weird and it was kind of, there's a couple other things and we'll kind of circle back, but I was kind of surprised that one, I think we talked about too, that Oliveira was the underdog. That was kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. And then two, that he was getting booed. Like, he's doing the open workout in a mall and people are booing him. And then he's walking out for the fight and people are booing him and everyone's rooting for Makhachev. Very bizarre. But so it's almost like he's to me, Oliveira is technically the champ because he only lost it to the fucking scale, the belt. But you're putting him in the worst circumstances because he's not like on his home turf. This is basically an away fight at a weird time. And, mm-hmm. you know, I guess we can just get into this fight. Oliveira versus Makhachev, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think he's starting to have struggles with the weight cut. There was I had a picture I saw on Facebook or 2 days ago where they mm-hmm. were showing him like surrounded by his team, laying on the ground, like cutting weight. And I think he struggles to make this weight anymore, you know, and I think that is a factor. But I mean, this fight, I think the odds makers were onto something, perhaps.
Yeah, I was saying that to Keith. Like, I thought it was closer, but I said that exact thing. Like, wow, the odds makers fucking really were on point.
Yeah, a lot of wrestling by Makhachev. And, you know, I think, you know, caught Oliveira with some good strikes and finished the fight in the second round, you know, with that nice right hand that Oliveira likes to throw, that Muay Thai knee, and, you know, he just clipped him with that right hook, you know, bam, and then gets the submission to finish it, Makhachev, you know. So I was kind of surprised. I don't know. It seemed like Makhachev was stronger in some respects. Like the wrestling was really a big problem for Oliveira, even though he was pretty active on the ground. I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, I think Oliveira never looked comfortable in there, like especially in the stand up where he just looked very stiff. So I don't know if that's nerves, bad weight cut, but just a general sense of just being stiff and not flowing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked okay on the ground, but again, he's on his back, right? So,
yeah, like the entire fight, almost. It's just a lot of work on his back. You know, didn't look very good. Didn't look like himself. So
no, and again, I think that the home field advantage for Makhachev is a big deal out there too, and just training with Khabib, right? Nurmagomedov. I don't know how long he said they've been training partners, but
I think he said like
a lifetime,
like 22 years or something, 12 years.
A long fucking time of something grinding like it out with a guy who knows what it's like to be a champion, and that experience that he can pass along, like you can't just pick that up from anyone. Like Jesus Christ, like he's what, undefeated, right?
Yeah, it's a tough one. And, you know, that they were calling out Volkanovski after the fight, who happened to be in the crowd. And it looks like they want to try to do a little 145 action. I wasn't clear, like, if they were going to have that fight at lightweight, featherweight, at catchweight. Like, what are they doing?
I thought it was going to be at 55 because I thought Volkanovski wanted to move up and challenge. And it was basically whoever wins this fight is going to get that shot. But between Oliveira and Makhachev versus Volkanovski, it just seemed odd. So now you have new guy in, right? He wins, and now you're gonna have the 145 champ move up to challenge the guy that just won. To me, it sounds too much too soon. Like, you should have to fight some more guys in your weight class. Like, if Oliveira won, it seemed to make sense, but for Makhachev to win and then you just do this fight right off the bat doesn't seem to make sense. But it's hard to say, like, who's gonna do it. Like, Dana's never going to say on the day of the fight, like, does that make sense? I don't know. I think he should stay around and fight some other guys. And fuck, though. I mean, if you submit Oliveira, and I'd say that was more of a knockout win than a submission win, because he was fucked up when he hit the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And it's super, just a matter of I fucking got an arm triangle. But I'd rather see him stay. And then it's tough for Oliveira, because then where does he go and who does he fight? Because he was on, what, an 11-fight win streak, and I think Makhachev was on a 10-fight win streak.
Yeah. Well, he came out today, and he had some things to say after. He was quiet until today, and he said, Oliveira says, 11 fights ago I lost, and I went back to the gym the same day because I said I'm going to go and get this done. And together, for all those people that love me and root for me and support me, they're always behind me. We're going to train and we're going to be together on this, and we're going to turn this around, and this belt's going to be mine again. Which she's alluding to potentially fighting again, some sort of a fight in Rio de Janeiro. I think UFC like 284, 283 or something is happening down there. So, we'll see. I mean, I don't know like who you're running back to, but tough loss. I mean, real tough. I'm a big Oliveira fan, kind of sad about this one. So,
yeah, I hate the wrestlers that win. Yeah, that's always my thing.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, what are you gonna do?
Exactly. And then let's talk about the co-main event. You have Aljamain Sterling and TJ Dillashaw. So my first question after the fight, obviously during the fight, Dillashaw's shoulder pops out of the socket in the first round. Between rounds, his corner pops it back in, and then in the second round, shit's going on. And he gets the finish. But the question is, like, how does the athletic commission not catch this? And I believe when the UFC fights overseas, they're bringing their own athletic commission with them.
Yeah, of course.
So,
well, it seemed to me that from what I was reading, I tried to research this back a little bit. It sounds like TJ had this injury going into the fight week, which is why he wasn't sparring or doing any sort of like workouts throughout the week. And from my understanding, he took Cormier aside at some point privately and had told him that something was up with his shoulder, right? So I don't know if this was a training injury or whatever, but it was like pretty much on that first takedown is where it popped out. And then they were able to put it back in, you know, in between rounds. But it's like, what the fuck? Like, whose responsibility? Like, should the corner throw in the towel? Should someone from the commission or the ringside doctor be like, hey, you can't continue? Because that's like pretty dangerous, I would say. Right? I mean, it popped out multiple times, so I don't know. I don't know that you can let a guy fight like that, you know. It just seems like not good for him, because a lot of stuff, you can have nerve damage in there, he might never be able to use his arm again. A lot of shit can happen. So,
well, he even said it happened back in April, and then during training camp it popped out at least 20 times. So Jesus. It's not like it just kind of happened. This was a known injury, probably something that's supposed to be disclosed. And I think when people were asking Dana White about this, he was saying, oh, well, how is the athletic commission, being the UFC, supposed to catch this if the guy doesn't disclose this? I'm like, there's nothing. You're not doing some kind of general like exercise to show that you're healthy, kind of like a DUI stop. You know, I don't know what goes on at the medicals for a fighter, but it seems like that's something that should be caught. Pretty bizarre. But anyway, is that on him too for going through with the fight, or is that good on him for going through with the fight?
I think it's stupid on him for going through with the fight. I think if your shoulder pops, it's like, what's the fucking movie? Lethal Weapon. Remember? Like, it's just kind of,
yeah,
it keeps pop. I don't
you
think
pop it out on will.
Yeah. He probably has some permanent damage in there and he likely needs surgery. Right. So I get it though. The guy has to fight to make money, but at the end of the day, like, you know, safety. And I mean, it just doesn't seem like, well, why is it popping out that much, other than something's probably torn, you know?
Yeah. So. And I mean, it was not even a competitive fight. It was just a one-sided ass beating, because you're basically, as soon as he got taken down, he's grimacing. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with him? And then I'm yelling at the TV. I'm like, oh, his shoulders popped out. I'm like, just fucking grab his arm and do any kind of unorthodox submission you can do. I don't even give a fuck what it is. Just grab it and fucking go to town on that fucker. And
well, Sterling was targeting it a little bit, trying to kick kinda, him and stuff.
Then I told him, target the shoulder.
Yeah, makes sense. No mercy. I think they were screaming that from his coaches were screaming that, no mercy. But at one point Sterling's even like, what the fuck? Like,
are we going to do something about this?
What's happening?
But I think as a fighter, once you know there's an injury, you have to attack that. You'd be stupid not to. So
yeah,
I do think he was targeting that too. So
he was,
it was nice. So I don't know what happens with Dillashaw. We'll have to see, because then you have the, I don't even know. I like to call him Peter. I don't say it the other way. Peter Yan.
Peter.
Peter. Like Peter.
Peter Yan.
P-E-W-T-E-R. Peter. Peter. Yan. Sean O'Malley.
Sean O'Malley. They had a little beef in the way in here. Like there was a little shoving action happening, you know?
No, Peter that didn't was work like, out for him.
I will get you, my friend. So,
who do you think won that fight?
I know there's a lot of controversy. I'm going to say this, okay? Yeah. I thought O'Malley won the first round, Yan won the second round, and I thought O'Malley won the third round. That is how I scored it. I felt like, O'Malley did enough to stay busy, stay active, and I think he won. But I could easily see how someone could argue it the other way. So how did you have it?
I had it for Yan. I mean, it's close, and I don't think it was a robbery like anybody was saying. But again, it's not one of those fights where I go, oh, my God, Yan fucking won that fight. I'm like,
yeah,
it was close. It was a close fight. And, here you have the number 11 guy beating the number one. And I thought this was supposed to be a contender fight. So whoever won this fight was supposed to fight the Aljamain Sterling, right? So it was just weird, too, because Yan did so many takedown attempts in this fight. It was like any time he didn't like what O'Malley was giving him, he shot a takedown. And I forget how many attempts it was. It was like 14 or 15 in the 15 minutes. And then someone else posted a stat where that was like, 4 or 5 times what he did in some of the other fights, because he just didn't like what he was eating. And there was also a lot of time during the fight, I'm like, wow, Yan just keeps ducking down forward. He's going high guard and ducking down. I'm going, knee that motherfucker, knee him. And he did get a couple of knees through, but you could see there's a little flaw, maybe even a chink in his armor sometimes of how he's defending everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see. Because I don't know, do you rush O'Malley to a title shot now against Sterling? Seems reckless.
No. I don't think so. I think I'm trying to see, did him and Beneil Dariush fight yet before? Because he was on this card too.
Who?
Sean O'Malley?
No.
I think I'd like to see those two guys go at it. That might
that's
be fun.
That's another tough fight. He looked pretty fucking good though.
He did.
Because he also did a camp with Nurmagomedov.
Oh.
And yeah, he looked very good in his win.
Yeah.
He didn't get the finish, but he looked good.
No, I like that fight though. I mean, it depends what they're trying to do. If they're trying to capitalize on O'Malley's like fame and get him up to the title shot, then I could see that happening. But I like to see him and Dariush fight. That would be interesting to me.
Yeah, I think he needs more seasoning, because just because you beat the number one guy, I don't consider him number one, because he's too far away. It's a split decision, which a lot of people didn't agree with. So I think you'd ease him in more. Maybe someone in the top 10, maybe on the lower end of that. But it's there's a lot of chaos going on. I kind of like it again, because it's not like technically Yan should have won that fight, did not win.
No.
And then Oliveira, to me, should have won that fight, did not win. So no. I like these things.
Well, I think you're right, though, what you said earlier, that the location is a challenge. Like in Abu Dhabi, I think this is a tough place for anyone to fight. Like unless you live in Russia, for example, right? So
yeah,
then you're good, because it's like right there. But
yeah, and then just a couple other things I want to share. Just I like seeing Steven Seagal walking to his seat, so you can just say, wow, he is large and extra, extra large.
Jesus.
Wow. That's a whole lot of man right there. Mm-hmm. And then the other end of the spectrum, Mr. Hezbollah was there, and he got a hero's welcome. I don't know if I can share sound, so I will not, but you just imagine the crowd going apeshit for Mr. Hezbollah. And then yeah, goddamn right, they even made him a little belt.
Nice.
Yeah, let's share here.
Oh my god. Okay. that's ridiculous.
That's fucking awesome. It's like, look at my fucking belt, bitches. I don't know what else he's doing. Oh, they actually put it on him? Oh, of course he sucker punches someone. He always just,
what the hell? He's always hitting bitch. People. I just want to see someone smack his ass. Just bang, launch him off.
Right?
Child abuse.
Speaking of smacking that ass, let's talk about our sponsor. A little
yes,
Manscaped.
Michael Myers sure is scary, but the last thing you need is to be hairy this Halloween. Luckily, our friends at Manscaped launched their fourth generation performance package to make sure your pumpkins get the ultimate carving experience on this spooky day. Turn your bite-sized treat into a king-sized candy and join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com/MMANuts for 20% off and free shipping. Make the right call this spooky season. It's trick or trim.
That's right. Have you ever tried to trim your balls and it turned into a Freddy Krueger film? Well, luckily, Manscaped is here to save the day and make sure you're feeling your best in your costume. That'd be sweet. I like to have smooth balls in my costume when I'm running down the driveway chasing the children with a chainsaw. Uh-huh. Because that's what all about. It's a full moon out, Ingo, and there's a werewolf in your pants and a toweling. Oh. That's right. It's time to tackle that problem with a lot more of 4.0.
That is right. And just remember, you can get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/MMANuts. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/MMANuts. Say trick or treats to your beautiful new Halloweeny with Manscaped.
Woot woot. Rocktober somewhere. Also the sponsor. Support for today's episode comes from Vincero Collective. If you aren't familiar with Vincero yet, they make exceptionally crafted and stylish watches at affordable prices. Other premium handcrafted watches have insane markups. You can finally own a high quality and lasting timepiece without going broke. And the best part is listeners of this podcast are getting hooked up to save even more with the biggest discount they offer. So if you're looking for the perfect accessory to help elevate your style for a limited time only, you can get 20% off plus free shipping site wide with our exclusive code MMA at www.vincerocollective.com.
That is right. And Vincero Collective is also a premium lifestyle brand out of San Diego that makes high quality and affordable sunglasses, jewelry, and more. They are known for their exceptionally crafted, ethically made products for today's most ambitious people, modern pieces that upgrade your look and stand the test of time. And there are three words that come to mind when I think of their products: stylish, quality, and versatility. Vincero designs everything in-house, sources their own materials, and produces in small batches. They are committed to doing things well or not at all.
And that's how you should go through life. You do it well or not at all.
That's right.
And I love this one. And it looks like it would cost a lot, and it doesn't cost that much, especially when you could save the monies. So they can only offer this big of a discount for a limited time. So don't wait or it'll be too late. You get 20% off plus free shipping site-wide with the code MMA at www.vincerocollective.com. Support our show and use code MMA at vincerocollective.com. I guarantee that you will find something that fits your style. You can shop Vincero today. Back to
the show. That's right. Back to the show. Also this past weekend, there was an event called One on Prime Video 3, where John Lineker versus...
Sounds like some kind of gangbang. One versus three.
Fabricio Andrade. Unfortunately, Lineker misses weight. They strip him of his bantam...
Is that the seventh time?
I don't know. They strip
17
him of his...
17 times?
Bantamweight title gets stripped
nine times. Sorry.
The poor more hurt on the fire. Not only that happens, he gets stripped of the title, but I'm going to share sound for this. Hopefully it's not too loud. Here he is taking a couple of shots to the cojones. Can you hear that?
Yep.
There they go. That one was clean. The next one, not so much.
Did he lose by TKO then?
It was ruled a no contest. I'll turn the sound off now and keep
what
playing.
Round was this?
I believe this was the second round, but they're gonna show it again in slow motion. So the first one was definitely clean right to the midsection. The second one, which you'll see shortly, here it is. First one, bam. That one was a good
one.
Yeah,
that's clean.
All good. He's like, ouch, that hurt. And then the second one, oh, right to the junk and watch the face. He's like, oh.
Apparently, he just came.
Yeah, apparently his cup was shattered in this process. So he's having a bad weekend after missing weight, being stripped of his title, getting kicked in the nuts. I'm not sure.
That sounds like an awesome time. If someone could rectify your anus, you'd be awesome right there.
Perfect. That probably happened at the hospital. So sorry to hear that, sir. Maybe better luck next time.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll work out or not. Yeah. I'm surprised he still has a career after missing weight for the umpteenth time. So interesting. And then also this weekend, Anderson Silva versus Jake Paul.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. What are your predictions?
Anderson Silva. And side note, still waiting to hear back from Showtime. But so Showtime, I saw a little clip of Anderson Silva kind of walking around his house, and he's talking about, yeah, I don't spend my money on cars and other fancy stuff. I spend it on my toys. And he goes into his toy room. He said he has over 6,000 action figures.
Wow.
He was showing them all. And I think it's just because, like a lot of us, poor growing up, and that was kind of an escape from reality to have like the G.I. Joes and the superheroes. And now that he's got money, he's like, fuck, I'm gonna buy them all. So he just has a room with just thousands of fucking action figures in it. So that was pretty cool to see one thing. And then Aaron Bronstetter just tweeted something else talking about how this event is already going to be the second biggest combat sports event in whatever arena they're fighting in's history, with the UFC being one. And I forget which fight it was. It might have been Gaethje versus Poirier. I'm not exactly sure on that. And it might be, I don't remember exactly where this one's happening. So it could be in Bumblefuck, where they may only have had two combat sports, with the UFC taking the number one spot, and now Anderson Silva versus Jake Paul taking the second slot. Because it's one of the off the beaten path kind of places.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up.
Arizona? I can't remember.
Yeah. So it's going to be a big one. I think, did we talk about this last time? I thought it was going to be a pretty big pay-per-view. So you think potentially win?
Yeah, because like he's already beat a legitimate boxer. I mean, Paul has power, but he just does not have the skill to be able to compete with Anderson, because Anderson is still elusive enough, even at the advanced age he is, to fucking win this.
Yeah, I'm going to go against the popular opinion here, and I'm going to say Jake Paul is going to win. Be a KO.
Blasphemy. Mm-hmm. You're blaspheming us.
I think he's going to knock out Anderson Silva in the fourth round.
That's fine.
Fourth round. But I hope it doesn't happen. I mean, I'd like to see Anderson Silva, you know. I'm still holding beef from the shit with Damian Maia, I'm going to say. I don't know when the fuck that was. That was like 10 years ago. I'm still mad about that. So I'm not going to lie. He did that man dirty. Not cool. So
yeah, and if I was running the UFC, I would have fired him. And I remember when we interviewed Damian, and we were asking him, like, because we know like the backstory of what he was talking, all sorts of shit in Portuguese to Damian. We were asking Damian, like, what was going on when you were fighting Anderson? What was he saying to you? And he wouldn't badmouth him. That's how good of a person Damian Maia is. Because we don't all know, but people that spoke Portuguese sure as shit told us what was being said, and it was not complimentary.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way he was fighting him too was just bullshit, where he wouldn't engage. Remember, he was like, Anderson was kind of running away. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, whatever. I hear you. Now I hate him again. Fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on?
Well, I want to talk to you about an upcoming fight card, which UFC 282 shaping up to be pretty solid. Yuri Prochaska is headlining that, however you say that, with Glover Teixeira. And I was just reading an interesting article on him that apparently he sat in a dark room for 3 days without food and water to confront his demons. So I'm not sure what the hell that's all about, but I want to show you this fight card, which is starting to shape. It's actually shaping up to be interesting. It's December 10th in Las Vegas. You have Yuri Prochaska versus Glover Teixeira, Jan Blachowicz with Ankalaev, Patty Bimlet, Jared Gordon. This could be a barn burner if Bimlet makes weight. Lawler over here.
Wow, with, shit.
Fighting puns and, yep, and then Gustafsson versus OSP.
I think this is a
sleeper card of the year. I think this is going to be fireworks, this card. And
yeah, and they're also trying to get John Jones versus Stipe Miocic on this card.
No shit. Okay. Yeah. That'll do it.
They're trying.
Rosenstruck versus Dawkus. I mean, there's some heavy hitters here. I mean, these guys are not all giant stars, but there's some fighters on this card, and I would December 10th. I think you might want to, you know, mark your calendar. I think that could be a good one to end the year.
Yeah, so we're getting numbered cards staying strong, not like the UFC this weekend, which I'll pull up here.
Oh god,
here we go. Calvin Kattar versus Arnold Allen, number 5 versus number 6, and I think that's it for the ranked fighters. There might be a couple other Tim Means, Max Griffin. Keep going down. Jacoby and Roundtree will be fun. And then look at this. Andre Arlovski. There's DeLiba.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other guys. But I think Andre is 2-0 in 2022, by the way. Anybody's keeping track at home.
Good on him.
He's due for another win. Mm-hmm. Then I saw this other thing. They said slap fighting is now regulated by the NSAC. So you have Dana White Power Slap League is coming in November or December this year. Interesting name. Pretty fast to get that pushed through, though, right? Like, they just brought that to the Nevada State Athletic Commission like a week ago. Nice. And then all of a sudden, approved, rule set, approved, ready to go.
I like it. I mean, is this going to stream on Fight Pass?
Probably, right? Or I don't know. Is it going to ESPN or Fight Pass? That's a good question.
The Ocho.
And then I wonder if we're going to, like we were talking about, I wonder if we're going to get the transition of maybe some UFC fighters want to try out some slap fighting.
And wrestlers? They're blurring the lines, Matt. We don't even know what's happening. Wrestling, UFC, slap fighting, the whole thing is
ring card girls, naked ring card girls. Please, I want to see naked slap fighting ladies. Is that too much to ask for in life? If you're not going to give me fucking pride events, when you have the pride rule set, I mean, naked ladies slap fighting, that'll make my day and or week.
Mm-hmm.
What else is happening?
Well, Ilir Latifi temporarily suspended from the Nevada State Athletic Commission after revealing he fought with a stab infection, and he knew it going into the fight when he fought Alexei Oleinik at UFC Vegas 61. I'm curious on your thoughts about this. Like, should guys be allowed to fight with stab infections, and or if they should or shouldn't, should they be fined if they knew they had one and fought anyways and didn't tell anybody?
Bunch of issues here. So no, they shouldn't be fighting with it. It's to me, it's fucking reckless. So I can speak from experience. Like, I had one, and then we were supposed to do our fucking 4-hour Krav Maga test to move to the next level, and I'm like, fuck, I can't go. So I'm like, Ingo, you have fun, do your test. I gotta fucking,
it was not fun,
I gotta staff it out. No, that 4 hours was hell. It was fucking hell.
Yes.
But fun afterwards, once you get done, but going through it was the worst. I mean, it's fucking reckless, because that shit passes so easy. And he's not the first guy that's done this, because we've seen a ton of guys, and everybody will call it out. Like, that guy's got a fucking staph infection. That guy's got a staph. This is the first guy to actually get suspended for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if Olenek caught it, because typically If you're fucking grappling around with someone or fighting, you're gonna fucking catch that for sure. Mm-hmm. So it's just weird that they're actually doing something, because that one is a little bit harder probably to catch. Because again, I don't know how we're doing medicals. Do you need to physically examine someone to make sure that's not happening? You might need to.
Like every inch?
Yeah, like rectal cavity rectal search. Rectal exam? Yes. Fingers only?
Fingers only?
Hmm. Yeah. Cucumbers? Pickles?
Yeah.
You got to work your way up. That's what I'm saying. Start with a pinky. Shoot for the moon. What else is happening?
My last piece of news is I was watching a little highlights from DAZN, which they love to have these TikTokers fight. You TikTok versus YouTube. You got the Ginty versus Joel JMX Morris fight happening over the weekend. And apparently the corner threw in the towel and they missed that part. And my man gets knocked out a little
fuck
bit.
Fuck that towel.
He's like, oh, that's not looking so hot. The towel is a little late.
It's maybe a little late. He was out.
It's kind of, but I don't know. How do you feel about, I'm a little confused because, I mean, yeah. I don't mind it. But at the same time, it's like, why are these internet stars? It's like that show from MTV. What the hell was that called? Where they had like the cartoon guys fighting. It was like a
celebrity death match.
Yeah, it's like this. Like, why are they doing this? Like, it just doesn't seem like.
Because they have a lot of followers. So if you have a lot of followers, they're going to follow you into whatever you want to do. And I think fighting is an easy one because people are used to paying money to see people fight. Hmm. So it seems to make the most sense. But again, you're not getting the most skilled guys because, like, how long have most of these guys been training for?
Days.
You know, you look at the Pauls.
Maybe never.
A few years, right?
Yeah.
And then it just because you've been training doesn't mean you're going to be that good either. Just means you've gotten to a amateur level, but you're fighting in a pro level sport or you're right. A pro fighter.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's kind of weird. I saw an interesting sparring match that they put up. It was a little kickboxing. So there's a 5'6" man fighting or sparring a 6'4" woman.
Whoa.
And you get a little bit of this.
6'4" woman. Hey, now.
Like, I'd like to climb that. But anyway, the dude is almost a foot shorter. But you can get the gist of it. I mean, they're just fucking around.
She is very tall.
Yeah. But I mean, she could just she could jab the shit out of him because she's, you know, the reach advantage. She's probably got a 2-foot reach advantage on this little guy.
Nice takedown.
But again, I just remember too when they used to have us spar women. Like, this doesn't feel right. No. Because they would never tell us to take it down. They were okay if we went 100% versus a woman. And I was not, one, I wasn't comfortable hitting a woman, even in a sparring scenario, let alone, like, I'm just going to play defense. This isn't right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was expected for us to go hard.
The sparring, yeah. I mean, I can see it in jiu-jitsu because I made that mistake couple of times. We had some women come in when we had like the all team, the like, you know, training or whatever. Yeah. And then you get matched up with a female. And I didn't know this woman was like some Brazilian fucking psycho. I'm like, oh, we're going to take it easy and roll. And she's like, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, oh, my God.
like oh, okay. It's on, right?
What is happening right now? And I'm like, yeah. She's trying to, like, literally kill me. And I'm just like, I'm trying not, because if you injure her, you're the asshole in the gym, right? So it's like, this is not a fair setup. Like, I can't really go 100%. No, it's lose-lose. So it's like, I'm going to have to just let you kind of kick my ass for a minute because I don't want to accidentally hurt you. So it's like, that just seems wrong. I don't know. But that looked like fun. What they were just
goofing. Yeah, I mean, they were doing it playful. We were in our environment, it was not playful because it was life and death training kind of shit.
Correct. Those were the days.
Weren't they?
I'm a lot more zen nowadays, Matt, than back then. I was ready to kill people.
Well, we were always on edge. Here's a little car jitsu. Ooh, cool. Lamore.
They're all buckled up.
Yeah.
Well, right away, Felton shows his experience there, wrapped all the way around his
throat. But they're using the seatbelt. I think I gotta not a lot that can be done here. He is fast forward a little bit where the guy actually gets choked out with his seatbelt.
There's no break. The third round is a 4-minute round. Absolutely exhausted.
Like right here, he pushes it, grabs his seatbelt.
Forward, and now he's got the seatbelt all the way around the neck of Ray Felton. He's got the seatbelt on the right side. He's going to reach under now with his right hand. Look at here. He's going to reach under, and he's going to grab the seatbelt and pull it behind the head of Felton, pushing with his left hand and using his right forearm. And there you have it. It's an Ezekiel seatbelt choke.
Ezekiel seatbelt choke. What do you think about this league of car jutsu, Ingo?
This thing is just all levels of stupid. I'm sorry. I don't really. I think.
But don't you have to learn how to prevent being carjacked?
I don't think a carjacker is going to come and do jujitsu on you. Like, I think they might have a gun or a knife.
And I probably. And your best move is just to run away. Get the fuck out of there. I saw ESPN tweeted this out about a bare knuckle fighter. So they just said bare knuckle fighters are built different. So here's this guy, Nathan DeCastro. You can see his eyes pretty jacked up. He said, as the dust settles on my fight, I am absolutely devastated. I'm assuming he's saying I knocked down the other guy in the first round and the second round I was winning comfortably, but the doctor stopped it due to a suspected broken orbital against my will. I would have won the fight, but the rematch is in Denver, USA. Ugh. That may just get us banned from YouTube right here.
Just for that?
Yeah, who knows? I don't give a shit. Odd. And then I saw that, and then here was a crazy one. They said Dada 5000 is supposed to compete in a bare knuckle boxing matchup on November 19th.
Hmm.
Didn't he die?
I thought he died.
That's what I thought. And then I had to look it up, and it's like, no, he fought Kimbo Slice, and then during that fight he had a heart attack and kidney failure and extreme dehydration.
Oh.
And then as we're doing the show, I just got an update to say the athletic commission actually shut down the fight and said they're not gonna let him fight. The guy fucking almost died in the octagon, or the fucking that was in Bellator. That was one of the worst fights ever. Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000, where they're both so gassed out. And then I forgot he had a heart attack and almost died and kidney failure and all that shit. So I'm going to just keep running around. I don't know what this is about, but you have Jack Black and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson hanging out.
Cool.
Want to do is you want to snap it fucking hi.
How about the flexibility on Jack
but
there?
You never pretty take solid. Your eyes off target, locked on target.
Oh,
so he's got the hat. Very good. It's getting there.
I think I'll pull a hemi.
Cut.
That guy's everywhere, man.
Pretty nimble, man.
Yeah,
for a guy his age and
limber, right?
Well, it's he was the luchador, remember? So
yeah, that's true.
That was one like of that Chris Farley ever.
Yeah, not good. And then it's time for some ladies. So as we know, Mackenzie Dern's, I think, back on the market. And she's back at the beach. So I always have to appreciate the ladies when they want to go back to the beach. And I'll just share a couple pictures. Damn, she's fit. I like that. And while we're talking about her, let's talk about Paige Van Zandt. I'm not going to share any pictures, but it didn't take her too long on OnlyFans to start showing her cooter. So if you go to certain websites or her OnlyFans, you can see business. And I don't know if she's posting blowjob or handjob videos or pictures with her husband. So she's going full on porn now. So wow. It only took a little bit of time. But I think she's making more money than she ever has. So good on her, right?
Makes sense.
You can do it. Do it. Let's do a little tweet a week. And we'll start here. There's always a theme to my madness. This is the Internet Hall of Fame. This guy says, if I die of corona, please spread my ashes in the sand pit during women's long jump. He's got a point.
Yeah.
We have three tweet a week. This is a good t-shirt. It says vision, creativity, passion.
Nice.
That's what it's all about. And then the last one. I'm not gay. My ass is.
Jesus.
This is shirts that go hard. Yay, Knowledge for the week.
Yeah, well, while I was on the plane, we got hooked on the show. It's a 7-part series. Netflix just came out called The Watcher. There it is.
Okay.
I would refresh it, but then it's going to play video. We're going to get banned.
100%. But,
it's a about a couple who moves out to the burbs in New Jersey, and there's apparently a house that has some weird shit going on in it, and it's I don't know, if you like the suspense thriller kind of, not slasher, but the shit that gives you the willies kind of a spooky thing, this is a good one because there's weird shit that happens. I would say it was worth the 7-episode situation. So
I saw like a preview for it. Who is the actor? Like, who's the main actor? That's
Bobby Cannavale, the guy. He was in I think he was in a bunch of shit, but I think you probably remember him from the HBO series with Buscemi, about the mobsters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forget the name of that, but
yeah,
Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. He's good in this. I like him a lot. He's a pretty good actor. He's been in a bunch of shit, and I like him. He's good. And then Naomi Watts, you know, so the internet is ablaze about how she looks her age and stuff. She's like a young 50, you know, there's such a thing, but she's not all
there is. I like these older ladies.
Mm-hmm. I like women who are just, they own themselves. Like,
that's
here
right.
Here I am.
They look good and maintain. I don't know what this is, but I saw this. So.
What the hell is happening?
Just wait. So I don't know what I'm looking at, but I think I like this. Hey,
he's like, ugh. Whoa.
I hope there's a lady in there. This will be very awkward.
Wedding of some sort.
It does. Awkward wedding. And then I'm pretty sure we've seen this one before, but this may or may not get us banned.
Oh, Jesus.
Something about these guys on their mopeds.
What the
fucking unidick.
that is funny.
So I'll leave you with that. My guy's like, fuck, now I gotta pull over and put a cock on my head. Mm-hmm. That was unwanted. I did not subscribe unwanted to this channel.
Cock to the visor.
Hey. That's all it takes. Anyway.
That has been this week's edition of MMA Nuts. My name is Ingo Weigel.
Matt Griffith, thanks for playing.